Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. Good morning. We are coming to this today from the Word of God about Calvary. And we know that our Savior rose from the dead, that He rose. He is not in the tomb. Hallelujah. We are grateful, thankful, and blessed to be children of the God of God this morning, that He is absolute, that He loves us, that He gave His only Son to die on Calvary for you, to die on Calvary for me. But He is Jesus. He is our Savior. He died
on Calvary.
Hallelujah. We are thankful, Lord. But this is the day that You have made, and we rejoice and are glad in it. For Jesus died on Calvary. Can you hear the hammer ring, family, as they nailed our Savior to the cross? Hallelujah. But guess what? He rose again. Hallelujah. Can you hear the hammer ringing? We know, hallelujah, we know that He is risen, that He is not dead, that He sits on the right hand of our Father God, interceding for you and for me. Lord God, we thank You. We praise You. We give You honor and glory. And as always, Father God, increase as I decrease, and let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart in Your sight. For You are my strength and my Redeemer. In the name of the Savior Christ Jesus, I pray, lifting up every listener, those that listen now and those that listen later, that this word will permeate their hearts, their minds, and their spirit. And that when they get off of this show from listening, they will be different. They will be changed because of Calvary. Amen. Hallelujah. Calvary. We will be changed. We will be different. And just think about this. Only 2 weeks. 2 weeks before Good Friday. 2 weeks. Before we commence the words of the cross. To know that our Savior died on Calvary for you and me. Can you hear the hammer ringing as they nailed Him to the cross? Can you see crown of thorns as they placed them on His head? Can you see the pain he was feeling on his face as blood streamed down? Can you see the nails in his hands and in his feet? Can you see where they pierced his side and left him to die? Hanging between two thieves. We are blessed beyond measure to be children of God today, that our Savior gave his life for me, for you, for all of us, not because he had to do it, but because he chose to do it. And yes, because he came in human form, he was fallible when he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? We all have had those moments in our lives where we feel forsaken, but we know that we are not, because we're children of God, and that everything we go through is for a reason. Because when everything is where it's supposed to be, in its proper place, we know that our Father God is guiding and helping us. It's time to go to work, y'all. It's time to go for God. This morning we will be coming first and foremost out of Psalms chapter 35, Proverbs chapter 12, verse 3. We'll also be coming out of and finish Mark today, and we will be starting in Luke chapter 1. So we will have Proverbs and Mark this morning with Luke chapter 1. And then on Sunday, we will be in Deuteronomy, and we will be finishing up the book of Numbers. So we'll be finishing up Numbers and going into Deuteronomy on Sunday. So let's get into our word. We are in Psalms chapter 35, verse 17. Lord, how long will you look on? Rescue me from their destructions, my precious life from the lions. I will give you thanks in the great assembly. I will praise you among many people. Rejoice over me who are wrongfully my enemies. Now let them wink with the eye who hate me without a cause. For they do not speak peace, but they devise deceitful manners against the quiet ones in the land. They also open their mouth wide against me and said, ah, our eyes have seen it. This you have seen, O Lord. Do not keep silent. O Lord, do not be far from me. Stir up yourself and awake to my vindication, to my cause, my God and my Lord. Y'all caught that right? My God and my Lord. Vindicate me, O Lord, my to your righteousness, and let them not rejoice over me. Let them not say in their hearts, we would have it. Let them not say, we have swallowed him up. Let them be ashamed and brought to mutual confusion who rejoice at my hurt. Let them be clothed with shame and dishonor who exalt themselves against me. Let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause. And let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. And my tongue shall speak of your righteousness and of your praise all the day long. And I have a life lesson. from Psalm 35. And we got to keep praising God. Psalm 35, verse 24. Vindicate me, O Lord, my God, according to your righteousness. We pray powerfully when we pray in line with the righteousness of God. That is when we pray for what is right, good, glorifying to him, and beneficial for his people. The Lord delights in such prayer. That's the word. And, you know, in my class that I took on prayer, intercessory prayer, that we learn to do is pray the word. Pray the word. And when we would pray the word, we would say, Father God, I come to you asking you, as your word say, vindicate me. Oh, Lord, my God, according to your righteousness, not my righteousness, but your righteousness, oh, Lord. For you know the desires of my heart. You know, Lord God, things seen and unseen. As your word says, oh, God, I pray vindication according to your righteousness. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Hear my supplication, O God. Remove this cup from me. In Jesus' name, amen. We pray the word and watch God move in your life. For he knows what your cups are. He knows what you're going through. He knows your crucifixion. He knows your heart. And the one thing I say to everyone, he loves us. Each and every one. The Lord doesn't want anybody going to hell. And we have opportunity. We have opportunity. All we have to do is pray. Psalm 35:27, as David was praying, he said, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. When things don't go well, we may think the Lord has rejected us, but the truth is that he takes great pleasure in our prosperity and rejoices in our happiness. However, God's first priority is our spiritual well-being. He loves us, and he's always providing for us, even in the hard times. God is always providing for us, even in the hard times. God knows our hearts, our minds, and our spirits. God knows us. We are blessed beyond measure. Psalms 36, verses 1 through 6. To the chief musician, a psalm of David, thus of the Lord, an oracle within my heart concerning the transgression of the wickedness of the wicked. There is no fear of God before his eyes, but he flatters himself in his own eyes when he finds out his iniquity, and when he hates, the words of his mouth are wickedness and deceit. He has ceased to be wise and to do good. He devises wickedness on his bed. He sets himself in a way that is not good. He does not abhor evil. Your mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the great mountains. Your judgments are great deep. O Lord, you preserve man and beast. And I love this word. It says in Life Lessons, and again, for those that are just joining this Moving Forward experience, we are coming this year from the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. And I am coming out of the New King James Version. Yesterday, I also came out of one of my Bibles that is a Greek and Hebrew Bible, and the Greek is the New Testament, and the Hebrew is the Old Testament, and I came out of the 23rd Psalm, in the Hebrew Bible on yesterday as we were talking a word. So I will use different Bibles. I also use the Amplified as well as King James regular Bible, our regular, you know, Bible. I use a King James also. But, you know, we have to have different Bibles because sometimes you may not understand what you read, but there may be another Bible, an NLT, or a different version that may make it a little clearer. So we do go back and forth. But our mainstay for this year is the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Bible. And it's a daily Bible. And I would suggest it for anyone who just needs a daily word. If you're not listening to Moving Forward and you just want a word for yourself to sit down and savor it and read it on your own, I would highly suggest that you get the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible. It is awesome. This is our second reading of it. We did not start it, though, last year until, I believe, the end of April, beginning of May, because we were finishing up another Bible that we were in, which was a chronological Bible that God put in my heart to read. So it was, everything was in chronological order, which was different. So, you know, we were in several different books all at the same time, but it was all chronological. So we've been doing this for a minute. But anyway, the life lesson from Dr. Stanley from Psalms 36 and 5 says, "Your mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds." God loves to show mercy and remains eternally trustworthy to do exactly what he has promised. If he seems to delay in working on your behalf, wait for him. He will never be unfaithful to you. God will never be unfaithful to us. Even when we are allowed, he allowed the shysters to come in. He will allow the ones to come in and get you off your square. But understand that God is a provider and he will come back. And I believe in my heart, I am faithfully believing that God will come back and make wrongs right. That, you know, he will get what the enemy tried for evil. God will change it back for your good. I believe that. I trust in that. I trust in God. Continue in our Psalms word. Psalms 36, verses 7 through 12. It says, "How precious is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. They are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your pleasures. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light." Wow. In the light of God, we see light, which is Jesus. We see him. But he is the truth and the life. He is our life. He is our lifeblood. He's Savior. Did you hear the hammer ringing? And it says, "Oh, continue your loving kindness to those who know you and your righteousness to the upright in heart. Let not the foot of pride come against me, and let not the hand of the wicked drive me away. There the workers of iniquity have fallen. They have been cast down and are not able to rise." You know, when we think that somebody is trying to do us in, they do things, they say things, they try to get that aha moment, as the word just said, but we know that without any doubt. And when someone tries to bring you down and you work for God, you better believe they better back it up. Because the word says, "Touch not my anointing." And you know you have an anointing on your life that God shows you every day. We each have an anointing on our life. All we have to do is believe and trust God that that anointing is on us. And that as long as we do what we have to do and are assigned to do for God, Watch him work in your life. Don't worry about it. He said, she said, they said, woo-woo said. Don't worry about the boo-boos down the street. Or the prodigal sons and daughters tear you down instead of build you up. Don't worry about it. Give them, give it, give all things to God and leave it alone. You keep doing your assignment. You keep walking in the light. You stay in your square. So many times folks wanted to see us get down in the mud and the muck. They want to see us fall down. But we are not going to wallow. We're not pigs. Come on now. We are children of God, and we're going to stand up, dust off, and keep moving. Stand up, dust off, keep moving. Don't let anybody knock you off your square, for you are in the square. You are in your anointing. You walk in it. Nobody can take you out of your square unless you allow it. Allow, they don't try to push you into the darkness. The devil's going to always be there trying to pull you into the darkness. Don't walk. Stay on your square. Stay in the light. What did David say? For with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light. Hallelujah. Psalms 36 and 9. With you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light. Dr. Stanley liked that word too. God offers the only real life there is. When we give ourselves to him and walk in the light, he provides us in his word and by his spirit. We begin to see more and more how we can enjoy life to the fullest. You know, I had a pastor, and I loved the way he always said that we got to learn to live life to the full. We got to live life to the full. Don't let anybody knock you off your square today. Don't let anybody in your light, knowing that that light comes from God. Our next word is coming out of Proverbs chapter 12. We're starting in verse number 3. A man is not established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous cannot be moved. Did you hear that? A man is not established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous cannot be moved. You know, I remember singing a song, I shall not be moved like a tree planted by the waters. I shall not be moved. We can't be moved off our square. We gotta, you know, put that foot down and say, devil, you better go on with yourself because you're a liar and ain't no truth in you. Keep on moving in the light of God. I'm staying in this lighted square right here. I'm not going into the darkness today. Proverbs chapter 12, verses 4 through 6. An excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who causes shame is like rottenness in his bones. Wow. That's a word. That's something to think about, but I believe that it can be just flipped around too, that a husband is the king of the house. Until he causes shame, then he's a rot to the house of God. He's a rot to his family. And I believe that as well, but I know the word of God tells us as wives and mothers, but mostly as a wife. A wife is a part of her husband. She is a part of her husband. But it tells you that an excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who causes shame is like rottenness in his bones. And the only way a woman is going to cause shame to her husband is to be out and about. You know, ladies, we can't wear this anything. You know, if you want to wear the sexy dress, wear it for your husband. You don't need to wear it to church. Come on now, I'm just being honest. Calling it like it is. You don't need to wear your little tight thing up to almost wherever as you go walking up on the platform to sing. Keep your dress down. You don't want to be a distraction. And you also don't want to be a rot to the bones of your husband. Folks looking at your husband crazy because you all hooked up with the deacon. Come on now. Calling it. Better stop. But let's call it straight. More mess starts in the house of God. Can't imagine. But the one thing we know is that Jesus said, my house should be a house of prayer. And we got to believe that. And you got to just say, oh, we're going to pray this rottenness out. And you wonder why certain people have left, because God said they was rottenness and they got to go. Because when God gets ready, I'm telling y'all, everybody, all these churches that are shut up, some will not come back. But the ones that are of God, you better believe it. When they come back, they're going to come back stronger than they ever were before this pandemic. I believe God cleaned the house. He did some house cleaning. And we all need to do some house cleaning too. And I'm not talking to y'all, I'm talking to me. We know that the deceitful one is always trying to create mess. Mess in your life, mess in your church, mess in your heart, mind, and spirit. He's just a little mess starter. And we got to start cleaning up, because we know that he lies. He's the king of lies and deceit. But we got to know that our Jesus, woo, our Jesus is that light that will shine on all that darkness. And on all the mess, the Lord God gives us light. And then as we continue in our Proverbs word, it says, the thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsel of the wicked are deceitful. Did you hear that? That's a highlightable. The thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsel of the wicked are deceitful. The words of the wicked are lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright will deliver them. We got to stand on the word of God in everything we do. Stand on the word of God. For God's word will take us through. God's word will give us light. And our last word from Proverbs this morning is, the wicked are overthrown and are no more, but the house of the righteous will stand. What a word. That is a word. Ooh, that's an awesome word. I'm going to read that again. That's a highlightable. The wicked are overthrown and are no more, but the house of the righteous will stand. The house of the righteous will stand. Thank you, Jesus. And now we're getting into our main word. And I left our New Testament word, which is our main word this morning, till the end. As y'all know, I get all emotional when I think about our Savior. I get all emotional when I think that he died on Calvary's cross for my sins. I get all emotional when I know that he rose again and that he sits on our Father's right hand interceding every day for me. I get emotional when I know that his love is sufficient for me. I get emotional when I think that he loved me so much to give his life for me. I get emotional when I think about the goodness of God. When I think about the love of the Savior, when I know that the Holy Spirit lights me up, when I think about the goodness of Jesus, and all I can say is, I love you, Jesus. I love you more than anything. Father God, I love you so much because you are my Father, and you knitted me in my mother's womb for such a time as this. I get emotional when I think about the Savior and his love for me. Wow. So let's get in the word for your emotional. It's all even more emotional. We all get emotional. We should all get emotional when we think about our Savior, that he rose. He is risen. Let's get into this word and our title for this morning. Coming out of our word when they are looking for Jesus. Hallelujah. They're coming to get him all ready. And I told you, he's not there. He is risen. Hallelujah. But this section we're reading right now is the crucifixion. And to know that he gave his life for us. And it says this, now it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And the inscription of his accusation was written above, the King of the Jews. With him they also crucified two robbers, one on his right and the other on his left. So the scripture was fulfilled, which says, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, aha, there that aha again. You who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross. Likewise, the chief priests also mocking amongst themselves with the scribes said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. Like, let the Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross that we may see and believe. And you know what? I'm going to say this, put a pin in there. If Jesus came down from the cross right then and right there, changed and transformed into the spiritual Son of God that he was and is and will be as he comes back, they still wouldn't have believed. They wouldn't have believed. They would have said it was some trick. It was the trick of the devil. It was a this, it was a that. Because they did not want to lose power. Understand, folks that want power, they don't give a care about anything, anybody but themselves. They could have cared less. They talk in this mess. But they know they would not ever believe, even if he had descended from the cross, as they speak, descend now from the cross that we may see and believe. Liars, that's what they were. Even those who were crucified with him reviled him. But when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, Labatanai, which is translated, my God, why have you forsaken me? Some of those who stood by when they heard that said, look, he is calling for Elijah. Then someone ran and filled a sponge full of sour wine, put it on a reed and offered it to him to drink, saying, let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come to take him down. Come on. Whew, Jesus, help us all. And Jesus cried out with a loud voice and breathed his last. Then the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. So when the centurion who stood opposite him saw that he cried out like this and breathed his last, he said, truly, this man was the Son of God. There were also women looking on from afar, among whom was Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James the Less, and Joseph and Solomon, who also followed him and ministered to him, those he was in Galilee, and many other women who came up with him to Jerusalem. Now, when evening had come, because it was the preparation day, that is the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent council member who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, coming and taking courage, went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate marveled that he was already dead. And summoning the centurion, he asked him if he had been dead for some time. So when he had found out from the centurion, he granted the body to Joseph. Then he brought fine linen, took him down, and wrapped him in the linen. And he laid him in a tomb, which had been hewn out of the rock, and rolled a stone against the door of the tomb. And Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, observed where he was laid. Some life lessons from this section of Mark, chapter 15. The first life lesson is Mark chapter 15, verse 34. Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? In his darkest hour, when he carried sins of the whole world on his back, Jesus fixed his mind on the words of Scripture. Read Psalms 22 to see how God confronted him, even on the cross. Excuse me, how God comforted him, even on the cross. And we're going to go to Psalms chapter 22, hopefully quickly. And we have read Psalms chapter 22 also. And it just says this. It says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? And this is David. Oh, my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear. And in the night season, and am not silent. But you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in you. They trusted and you delivered them. They cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. And that's just a small section of this word. But I would say to you, when we get off this blog today, when you get off this show today, go and read Psalms chapter 22. And chapter 23. Read the 22nd and 23rd Psalm together. And I'm telling you, it will do something to you. It will do something to your spirit. The only reason I'm not reading the whole thing is because of time. Chapter 30, verse 38. Then the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom by tearing the thick, heavy veil of the temple from top to bottom. God signified that he, through the death of his son, had made free out of heaven possible for all those who trust in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. The end of sacrifice, the end of the lamb and the unblemished ram and the sheep and the goat, a sin goat, sin offering, that he offering all those things, when that veil tore, God was tearing up because the sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice, had been made. The centurion of bold confession, the breastplate that covered his heart, bore the seal of his master Caesar. He felt pride in commanding 100 elite Roman soldiers. The centurion looked at the crosses and stood vigil as death reduced them to a mass of life. Yet one victim seemed unlike any the veteran soldier had ever seen. This man didn't fight as the others had, nor did he beg or curse, condemn, or plead for mercy. In fact, he did something that tore at the centurion's heart. He forgave. In all his career, only Jesus had ever offered the centurion mercy. Even though he stood for everything that put Christ on the cross, Jesus forgave him. In that moment, he could utter only one confession. Truly, this man was the Son of God. Mark 15 and 39. 2,000 years later, people still look upon Jesus, the resurrected Son of God. What is your confession about him? He is the Son of God. Hallelujah. Joseph of Arimathea went into Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. To this point, Joseph had been a secret disciple for fear that he might jeopardize his position. But when all the Lord's disciples ran, he stepped forward and made public his allegiance to Christ. And he didn't put him in some old worn-out tomb. He didn't put him in some tomb that had about five or six bodies in it. He put him in a brand new, newly honed out tomb. Brand spanking new. He didn't wrap him in rags. What did the word tell us? That he wrapped him in what? Fine linen. And that what it said? And then I look at it, read that word again, starting in verse 45 of chapter 15 of the book of Mark, and it says, so when he found out from the centurion, he granted the body to Joseph. Then he brought fine linen, took him down and wrapped him in the linen, and he laid him in a tomb which had been hewn out of the rock and rolled stone against the door of the tomb. Not some old worn out tomb, but brand spanking new in fine linen. Come on now. Fine linen. That's all that the Savior should have been wrapped in was fine linen. He should not have been put in an old tomb, but a brand new spanking new tomb. Joseph of Arimathea did a lot for our Savior. Wrapped him in fine linen. Put him in a brand new tomb, but he knew he was only going to be there for a minute. Hallelujah. And let's keep going because this is so good. We are in Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 20. Now when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, brought spices that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, there's our Sunday, y'all, when the sun had risen. That's why we have them sunrise services on Easter, y'all. And when they said among themselves, who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us? But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large, and entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. And that's our word for today. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him as he said to you. So they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Now when he rose early on the first day, when he arose early on the first day, Jesus rose, y'all. He is not here. He is risen. Is risen. He is risen. He is risen. Hallelujah. And then they go told him, he says, so they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were up. Now when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven demons. Y'all caught that, right? It don't say that she was a prostitute. It said he had cast seven demons out of her. She wasn't no prostitute. She was a woman that had been possessed by seven demons. And he cast them out, and she was his follower. And she was a disciple. She was a disciple. Let's not get it twisted. Mary Magdalene was powerful as a follower of Christ. She wasn't just any old woman. She was powerful, and she was appreciative. She was appreciative that he had cast seven demons out of her, that he had changed her life, that he loved her as one of his, And she loved him as her Savior, her life. He saved her life. God loves us. All we have to do is love each other and love ourselves because we are children of God. We are children of God. We are blessed beyond measure to be children of God, sons and daughters. When they went to that tomb, he was not there. He had risen. He is not here. God is with us every day. But Jesus was not in the tomb. He's not in the tomb today. He is with us today. He loves us every moment, every hour, every second today. Hallelujah. Can you say I'm blessed? I'm blessed better than blessed. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We read the word of God ourselves so that we can't be fooled and told lies. How many times growing up did you hear that she was a prostitute? But then as the word continues this morning, it says this. Whew, hallelujah. Jesus. It says she went and told those who had been with him, and they mourned and wept. And when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they did not believe. There's one who did not believe. After that, he appeared in another form to two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Twice. Later, he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table and rebuked them, their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him and that after he had risen. And he said to them, all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it by no means will hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. What a word. And as we go back to a few life lessons, it says, go tell the disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. Only Mark's gospel tells us that the angel singled out Peter for the announcement that Christ had risen from the dead. Peter had denied the Lord three times, but Jesus showed him grace. Mark chapter 16, verse 8. They went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed. The first hours after the resurrection were anything but a triumphant display of faith and courage. Though Jesus had told them repeatedly that he would rise from the dead, none of the Lord's disciples imagined that he really would. Fear reigned in them as long as they doubted. Our responsibility is always to remain faithful when things look their darkest, because we know that God is going to redeem the situation in a manner exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask. Come on now with that Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 words. God's work will always amaze us, so we must wait for it patiently and expectantly. Mark chapter 16, verses 15 to 16, and this is a life question. The only way to reach spiritually blind, captive, and dead people is through the divine work of Almighty God, who is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter verse 3 and 9. We are his tools. He is the power. And we're not talking dead. We're talking dead spiritually. To reach the spiritually blind, to reach the spiritual captive, to reach the spiritually dead. And it says, the Apostle Paul says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. 2 Timothy verse 1:7, that should be in your arsenal. We therefore have three supernatural change agents to help us share our faith. Power. The gospel of God opens blind eyes, rescues the captive, and revives the dead. We share our faith by declaring that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, was buried, and rose again from the dead. Being the non-Christian, bringing the non-Christian to consider Jesus, the core of saving faith, and rejection you experience thus centers on Christ, not you. Do not attempt to share your faith without prayer. Come on now. Every morning we pray before we start this word. Why? Because we cannot share our faith without prayer. Come on, we got to ask God to come in and intercede. Do not attempt to share your faith without prayer, and make sure that you depend on the power of God through the Holy Spirit, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. The next one is love. The greatest force on earth is love. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another, John 13 and 35. We can showcase the love of God uncounted practical ways. 1 John 3 and 18. Perhaps you can keep a couple's children in order to give them a special night out, or invite them over for dinner, or take them food during sickness. Having love through service, we can also love in words. Proverbs 31 and 26. That means we encourage, praise, and point out the positive qualities of our lost friends. A sound mind. The Christian faith is based on facts, not fiction. Can I say that again? The Christian faith is based on facts, not fiction. As the Christian apologist Josh McDowell says, my heart cannot rejoice in what my mind rejects. Thus, sharing our faith doesn't mean we are unreasonable or irrational. Rather, we offer the trustworthy testimony of Scripture. Such evidence includes the fact of the resurrection, 1 Corinthians 15 and 6. The resurrection is indeed a concrete historical fact. The fact of fulfilled Scripture, literally hundreds of Old Testament prophecies were fulfilled in the New Testament, including many intricate details of Jesus' birth, life, and death, and resurrection. The fact of manuscript and archaeological evidence, thousands of ancient manuscripts attest to the reliability of the Bible. The logical evidence has consistently verified the historical data of the Bible. All you got to do, watch the History Channel, watch Discovery, and all this amazement will come. And you're like, wow, that's out there. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And I'm going to just tell you now, we're going to go just a touch over 8 this morning, because I want to make sure that the lines can be open if there is anybody that has a word that they need to speak today, because this word is rich and it is good. I say again, family, he is risen. He is not here. He is no longer in the tomb. We are so blessed that he is no longer in the tomb, that he is sitting on the right hand of God. Hallelujah. He is on the right hand of God. And we are blessed beyond measure. We are going to the book of Luke. And the word of Luke says this. Inasmuch as many have taken in hand to set in order a narrative of those things which have been fulfilled among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, delivered them to us. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write to you an orderly account, most excellent Theophilus, that you may know the certainty of those things in which you are instructed. So understand, Luke is that physician, that historian, that writer of this word. Because remember, Paul was in prison, and it was Luke that came and ministered with and to him, and also wrote so much parchment and paper and quill for him. You know, Luke was that one that, so he's kind of in the background. But no, he got a word, didn't he? He is in the word because he was special. Luke was special. Anyway, let's get into the word of Luke this morning. And we're in Luke chapter 1 today. And it says this: there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias. Come on, y'all, this is John the Baptist's story, of the division of Abijah. His wife was the daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. He's a Levite. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. So it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the customs of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord, and the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. And I'm going to tell you, if you standing somewhere and this big old tall angel comes before you, you fall down afraid too. I know I would. I'd be trembling and terrified. Because understand, angels are not them little cherubby things that they show you on Valentine's Day. They are big, they are tall, and they are mighty. Fell right down beside Zechariah. Because it's no joke. And so he knew. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the obedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years." Answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel." God didn't send just any old angel. He sent his angel. He sent his messenger. He sent Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time." Wow. And that is our word for this morning. That's all. I have one life lesson, and it says this: that you may know the certainty of these things in which you were instructed. God wants us to know that the Bible teaches truth and can be trusted in all that is declared. The Gospels are not a collection of religious fairy tales. Can I say it again? The Gospels are not a collection of religious fairy tales. They are the source of eternal truth. God's word. And family, as we wrap it up this morning, I say we stand on the word of God today and always. Stand on the word and watch God work in your life. We stand today, Lord God, on your word, believing and trusting in it and knowing that every word is true. Good morning. If you have something to say, call 213-943-3597. Wow. It's all I can say is wow. I'm filled up. It was an awesome word today. He is risen. He's not here. Why? Because he's sitting on the right-hand side of God, interceding for you, interceding for me. Father God, we thank you this morning for this mighty, mighty word. Thank you for giving us the greatest gift we could ever have, which is your son. Lord God, as I pray this day over all those that are listening, I ask you, Lord, to bless each and every one with overflow, with more than enough. Give them visions and dreams of ministries. Give them anointing to fulfill their calling. Lord God, you are in charge, and I ask you, Lord God, watch over and bless your children today. Lord God, keep us in the wings, in your loving wings. For there's no place safer than in your loving wings and in your arms. Father God, I thank you this day that you have made I rejoice, and I'm glad in it. But Lord God, you gave me breath in my body. You gave me a pep in my step, a smile on my face to know that my Savior died on Calvary for me, but that he rose. He is risen, and he is no longer in the grave. He is with you, Father God, transformed, transfigured back to himself. A mighty, powerful Lord and Savior. Thank you, Father God, for this day. Again, I pray that you watch over your children, guiding us, leading us, that we will be faithful. We will be faithful to you, and we will not walk in fear. We will not worry because we pray. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Father. I lift up those that are listening and ask you to watch over them, to bless them. In Jesus' name, amen. And as always, family, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other in the precious and holy name of Christ Jesus. I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day. And a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And it says this: begin your day with love in your heart. Expect blessings, sharing goodness, shine like the sun, and inspire someone. Never forget that God is with you all the time. So sow seeds of kindness in the heart of others. May God's blessings be with you always. And as you have listened to this word, be is the be in blessings. Begin your day with love, the L, in blessings, in blessings. Love is your heart, the E, expect blessings. The S, share goodness. The next S, shine like the sun. And I, inspire someone. And N, never forget that big, huge G, God, is with you all the time. So that last S, sow seeds of kindness, family, in the heart of others. May God's blessings be with you always. Have a blessed and wonderful day, family. We only went a little bit over today. Father's light shine upon you. As I do this vlog this morning, as I do this show, the sun is shining into my window, and I just feel the light of God. And I can only say thank you, Lord, for your risen son who died on Calvary for me. It's 8:07, our new beginning, and it's complete. Family, it's a wrap. Have a wonderful and blessed day. And thank you for listening in this morning. Please join me again on Sunday, 7 a.m. Central Standard Time, and we will be in the book of Numbers, Deuteronomy. Be blessed.